some characters that are around him. Kent Green.
Kent Green.
He had served three prison terms, was building an apartment complex in Kansas City suburb when Mullendore first went to see him in July of 1970. He was asking Kent Green to find some money for him.
What happened was, E.C. was paying those guys. They called themselves money finders. Kent Green was one of them, and he's the one that had the dummy note E.C. had in his pocket. Kent Green signed that he'd loaned him $12 million.
But it was bogus.
It was bogus. Kent Green didn't have $12. E.C. had all those kind of people around him, you know. They was picking him just like picking a chicken. He was drunk. And he had a cow trader or two around there I liked, good fellows, but I wouldn't trust them too far when there's a lot of money sticking out there.
And then there's George Acock of Prague, Oklahoma. He suggested E.C. visit with Kent. And Green gave the Ponca City Production Credit Association a $3.6 million check to pay off the Mullendore obligations, but the check bounced.
Yeah.
And it was to have been covered by George Acock. And then Kent Green and a female companion were actually staying at the Mullendore Ranch a good part of September, but had left the ranch a day or two before the murder.
Yeah.
Was he brought in for questioning?
Yeah.
And did you question him?
Yeah.
But did you determine fairly soon that he was not?
Like I said, he's a money finder. Broke, and they needed a place to hide.
Just ballpark number. How many people do you think you questioned?
Oh, I don't remember.
100?
Oh, I imagine, yeah.
So then there are different theories, and you can poke holes in them. Now, there's a private investigator by the name of Gary Glanz.
Yeah.
Gary was called into the scene fairly soon because a law firm asked him to come in to be a bodyguard for Linda.
Yeah.
What was your association with Gary? Did you work together at all on
no,
it?
No, I didn't know Gary. I never met Gary.
He's a cousin to Stanley Glanz,
yeah.
The sheriff of Tulsa County.
Yeah. There's two private eyes got involved in this thing. One of them's from Bartlesville and Gary in Tulsa. Now the other one, I talked to him a lot.
Buffalo Dale is the name he went by.
Yeah, Buffalo Dale.
Some characters that are around him. Kent Green.
Kent Green.
He had served three prison terms, was building an apartment complex in Kansas City suburb when Mullendore first went to see him in July of 1970. He was asking Kent Green to find some money for him.
What happened was, E.C. was paying those guys. They called themselves money finders. Kent Green was one of them, and he's the one that had the dummy note E.C. had in his pocket. Kent Green signed that he'd loaned him $12 million.
But it was bogus.
It was bogus. Kent Green didn't have $12. E.C. had all those kind of people around him, you know. They was picking him just like picking a chicken. He was drunk. And he had a cow trader or two around there I liked, good fellows, but I wouldn't trust them too far when there's a lot of money sticking out there.
And then there's George Acock of Prague, Oklahoma. He suggested E.C. visit with Kent. And Green gave the Ponca City Production Credit Association a $3.6 million check to pay off the Mullendore obligations, but the check bounced.
Yeah.
And it was to have been covered by George Acock. And then Kent Green and a female companion were actually staying at the Mullendore Ranch a good part of September, but had left the ranch a day or two before the murder.
Yeah.
Was he brought in for questioning?
Yeah.
And did you question him?
Yeah.
But did you determine fairly soon that he was not?
Like I said, he's a money finder. Broke, and they needed a place to hide.
Just ballpark number. How many people do you think you questioned?
Oh, I don't remember.
100?
Oh, I imagine, yeah.
So then there are different theories, and you can poke holes in them. Now, there's a private investigator by the name of Gary Glanz.
Yeah.
Gary was called into the scene fairly soon because a law firm asked him to come in to be a bodyguard for Linda.
Yeah.
What was your association with Gary? Did you work together at all on
no,
it?
No, I didn't know Gary. I never met Gary.
He's a cousin to Stanley Glanz,
yeah.
The sheriff of Tulsa County.
Yeah. There's two private eyes got involved in this thing. One of them's from Bartlesville and Gary in Tulsa. Now, the other one, I talked to him a lot.
Buffalo Dale is the name he went by.
Yeah, Buffalo Dale.
But his real name is Dale Lewis.
When they caught Chubb this last time, they called me and wanted to know if I wanted to interview him. I said, you better want to interview him. Well, I get one of the deputies and we go up to Kansas Penitentiary. Dale was there. First time I'd ever met Dale. But Dale practically lived with him till he died.
With Chubb?
Yeah.
Then he was out of the penitentiary when he died.
Yeah, he was in a home there in Sedan.
So Buffalo Dale was with him a lot.
Yeah. Also, Dale called me, and I thought Dale was trying to pressure me to get my district attorney to file on him.
To file on Chubb?
Yeah. District attorney and I are good friends, and we visited about it, and we talked it all over and how he's kind of going to handle it. But he's on his deathbed. Chubb was. The medical bill on him was $3 a week, not cheap. And Kansas had him. It wasn't costing us nothing, and we wasn't getting nothing. But I went up there, I think I went up to the penitentiary twice, went up to his home where he was living up there 3 times, I think. And when he come back from Kansas, I thought I had him. Of course, I hadn't seen him in 20 years. Well, I was there waiting on him, and I wouldn't have known him if I had met him on the street. But when he come in there, I had my hands out to shake hands with him. And he looked at me, and he says, I thought you'd be 6 foot under before now. I said, no, Chubb, I'm still around. I'm here to visit with you. And I tuck him in the room there. And I started off with him, you know. I said, now, Chubb, I've read your story over and over. And it don't jive. Anyway, I talked quite a little while, and he's just sitting there, you know. Finally got out, and I said, Chubb, do you believe in God? He said, yeah. I said, you know, he forgives. And I'd like to clear this thing up for once and for all. And now's the time you'll just confess it. And I'm not interested in sending you to penitentiary. Man, in your shape, I don't know whether we get you in the penitentiary or not. But I want to clear it up before I die. And we could work out some kind of deal. We'd have to take you back to Oklahoma. You'd have to plead guilty. And I don't know that I can do all of this, but I'll work on it if you'll tell me the truth. And I thought he was going to tell me. He sat there quite a little bit. He said, Sheriff, I don't know how you figured it out, but I didn't do it.
But I didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
You followed up that with who did it.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
He didn't say. I'll tell you what else I know about. Dale.
Dale?
Buffalo. Dale.
Okay. The other private detective.
Yeah. He called me, told me he had his tape that Chubb had confessed and wanted to know if I wanted to look at it. I said, yeah. He said, I'll bring it over. So he come over here and we watched the tape.
It was a video recording.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know about Glanz being on this. Dale wanted to show it to me. The only difference in what I think is what Chubb said there in that tape. And I don't believe this part of it. He said his ex-brother-in-law was out in the pen behind the house. Had been in there all day. After he shot E.C., he got him to shoot him through the shoulder. Well, the deputies then that I was working with, they thought that was a big deal. I said, it's nothing. He's lying to you. But you go ahead and run it out and see what you can find out. Well, they find this brother-in-law, and this brother-in-law told him to hell he wasn't talking to him.
Was that Lonnie Brown?
Yeah. And so they never could talk to him. I said, why should he talk to you? You don't have anything on him. You got a dead man saying that. What are you going to do with it?
So you couldn't corroborate Chubb's story again?
No. I don't know what his reasons for it was. And Chubb said, I beat him. He said, he's the toughest little son of a bitch you ever saw. Said, I beat him. He just kept coming back.
So he does say that in that video recording.
Yeah. The only thing different than what I said, it happened, is Chubb says that his ex-brother-in-law was out there in the pen. He was going to take him to Bartlesville. Well, I never found anybody around there when this all happened, if there's anybody around there. And then the deputies later, they checked around and didn't nobody know him. They'd never seen him out there at the ranch. So I think it's just one of them things Chubb sewed in there to kind of muddy the water a little bit.
Lonnie Brown was never there then, probably.
No. Well,
have you tried to talk to him?
No, the deputies did. I didn't.
So Chubb admits then that he was beating EC, and that's when he says he got shot.
No. No, he tells it just like I think it happened. The only thing he's adding to the story is, I say that EC shot him in the shoulder. He's saying that he done it just like I said he done it, but he had his brother-in-law to shoot him in the shoulder, make it look like, you know.
Those two guys that were supposedly in there, he shot him.
What he's telling don't add up.
Chubb was never brought to trial.
No, you had to have him trialed 3 days a week. I had to tell the judge, the district attorney, that we was going to do this. I don't know what I could sell them that. The district attorney says, I'll go along with you. I believe you're right. But when you go to tell the judge, then what are you going to do with him? You can't send him to the penitentiary. What if we bring him over there and he's on dialysis? We got to take him to the hospital. He could say anything he wanted to, really. Change his mind when he gets to court. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. Way back, after the old man Molitor died, I had a friend of mine, he was an investigator for the DA's office, go to Chubb and see if he could make a deal with him. He found him over in a beer joint at Dewey, and he told him, said, I lied to the sheriff. If you ever catch me on a deathbed, I'll tell the whole story. Well, he came back and told me. I sent him back. He goes back, and Chubb told him, said, tell you what I'll do. I'll plead guilty to pat on the butt. So he put it similar to that. I don't know if that's the word, but that's what I took out of it. So I think about that for a few days. The old man had died. So I thought, well, I'll go up and talk to Mullendorf. And I went up to Mullendorf, and John Meekum and his wife were there, and met Ms. Mullendorf. John, his wife, was living out there where Dale Court lived. And I told him what I had. I believe I can get a guilty plea out of Chubb on this murder. But I want you folks behind me, because I've got to sell it to the DA and the judge. I knew that my DA at that time was thinking about running for Senate, and I didn't know whether I could sell it to them and a judge without having the Mullendorfs on board with me. So we visited her a little while about it, and Catsy and Ms. Molitor, they wouldn't go for it. John, I think he'd have went for it. And the only thing I can figure out about the two Molitor ladies, they had all the publicity they wanted. They didn't want no more of it. It was all over. Nothing changed. So I never did approach the DA at that time and the judge because I didn't know what I could sell it. Well, that was in the back of my mind all these years. And then it came down to where we were, and it was up to me and the district attorney, I think, to see the charges were filed, and we just decided there's too many risks for what we'd get out of it if we'd done it. We just didn't file.
But when you think about what evidence you had, what evidence did you have?
Didn't.
There was none.
It wasn't going to be him. He's going to send himself to penitentiary.
He'd have to admit it.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you'd bring it into court, is if he agreed that this is what I'm going to do. Because if you had brought it in and he didn't admit, you would have lost your case.
Yeah. If we just brought him back to Pawhuska, there we would have had all the expense that was there. And he wasn't too good to change his mind. He wasn't no dummy. But I told him, I promised him that, you know, he wouldn't go to the penitentiary. And I felt like I could keep that. The DA went along with me on it. If he just cleared up, because he's dying. He's on his deathbed.
Well, you interviewed Chubb in 2009. I watched it, and Chubb says, you're late. You say, late? And Chubb says, I'm just going to take it to my grave. I don't see how I can profit from it. I know there's been books written about it, but it's just going to be one of those deals that remains unsolved.
But he changed his mind after that to Dale. But I said, Dale, I can't use that. You never advised him his rights. You never done anything. You just let him tell you. We can't use that.
And he probably should have had somebody like you there to have got that confession.
Well, he should have. Because I always advised him his rights when I talked to him. But Dale didn't advise him his rights. And all he had to do when he got over to Pawhuska, he said, I'm not guilty. It's a no-win case. And he just died a few days after that. We wanted to gamble. That's what he'd do when he got the bus.
Do you think that Chubb Anderson told anybody else?
No. Dale Court was the only one. I kept thinking Dale Court. If anybody knew about it, Dale Court. Because when he went from E.C.'s house over to Dale's house, I asked Dale, I said, what did he tell you when he come over? Well, he just told me he'd been a shooting. I'd known Dale Court quite a while. He come down here from Colorado, and I had an uncle was his neighbor up there. By my uncle, I kind of knew of him. But I don't think Dale knew. I don't think he told Dale. I don't think he told anybody. Only on that tape.
And then I think I read about Kent Green. He was quoted while in prison. If he knew who killed E.C., he says, we're in the penitentiary, gentlemen. If I did the thing you're asking me to, I couldn't make it to that front gate without three knives sticking in me. But you believe that Kent Green didn't know?
No. Kent Green was in a hotel. He was over at Bartlesville in a hotel.
And certainly, Chubb would never have told him.
No. When they caught Chubb this last time, they called me and wanted to know if I wanted to interview him. I said, you bet I want to interview him. Well, I get one of the deputies, and we go up to Kansas Penitentiary. Dale was there. First time I'd ever met Dale. But Dale practically lived with him till he died.
With Chubb?
Yeah.
Then he was out of the penitentiary when he died.
Yeah, he was in a home there in Sedan.
So Buffalo Dale was with him a lot.
Yeah. Also, Dale called me, and I thought Dale was trying to pressure me to get my district attorney to file on him.
To file on Chubb?
Yeah. District attorney and I are good friends, and we visited about it, and we talked it all over and how he's kind of going to handle it. But he's on his deathbed, Chubb was. The medical bill on him was $1 3 days a week, not cheap. And Kansas had him. It wasn't costing us nothing. And we wasn't getting nothing. But I went up there. I think I went up to penitentiary twice. Went up to his home where he was living up there three times, I think. And when he come back from Kansas, I thought I had him. Of course, I hadn't seen him in 20 years. Well, I was there waiting on him, and I wouldn't have known him if I had met him on the street. But when he come in there, I had my hands out to shake hands with him. And he looked at me and he says, I thought you'd be 6 foot under before now. I said, no, Chubb, I'm still around. I'm here to visit with you. And I tuck him in the room there. And I started off with him. You know, I said, now, Chubb, I've read your story over and over, and it don't jive. Anyway, I talked quite a little while, and he's just sitting there, you know. Finally got out, and I said, Chubb, do you believe in God? He said, yeah. I said, you know, he forgives. And I'd like to clear this thing up for once and for all. And now's the time you'll just confess it. And I'm not interested in sending you to penitentiary. Man, in your shape, I don't know whether we get you in the penitentiary or not. But I want to clear it up before I die. And we could work out some kind of deal. We'd have to take you back to Oklahoma. You'd have to plead guilty. And I don't know that I can do all of this, but I'll work on it if you'll tell me the truth. And I thought he was going to tell me. He sat there quite a little bit. He said, Sheriff, I don't know how you figured it out, but I didn't do it.
But I didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
You followed up that with who did it.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
He didn't say. I'll tell you what else I know about. Dale.
Dale?
Buffalo. Dale.
Okay. The other private detective.
Yeah. He called me, told me that he had his tape that Chubb had confessed, and wanted to know if I wanted to look at it. I said, yeah. He said, I'll bring it over. So he come over here, and we watched the tape.
It was a video recording.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know about Glanz being on this. Dale just wanted to show it to me. The only difference in what I think is what Chubb said there in that tape. and I don't believe this part of it. He said his ex-brother-in-law was out in the pen behind the house. Had been in there all day. After he shot E.C., he got him to shoot him through the shoulder. Well, the deputies then that I was working with, they thought that was a big deal. I said, it's nothing. He's lying to you. But you go ahead and run it out and see what you can find out. Well, they find this brother-in-law, and this brother-in-law told him, well, hell, he wasn't talking to him.
Was that Lonnie Brown?
Yeah. And so they never could talk to him. I said, why should he talk to you? You don't have anything on him. You got a dead man saying that. What are you going to do with it?
So you couldn't corroborate Chubb's story again?
No. I don't know what his reasons for it was. And Chubb said, I beat him. He said, he's the toughest little son of a bitch you ever saw. He said, I beat him. He just kept coming back.
So he does say that in that video recording.
Yeah. The only thing different than what I said, it happened, is Chubb says that his ex-brother-in-law was out there in the pen. He was going to take him to Bartlesville. Well, I never found anybody around there when this all happened, if there's anybody around there. And then the deputies later, they checked around and didn't nobody know him. They'd never seen him out there at the ranch. So I think it's just one of them things Chubb sewed in there to kind of muddy the water a little bit.
Lonnie Brown was never there then, probably.
No. Well,
have you tried to talk to him?
No, the deputies did. I didn't.
So Chubb admits then that he was beating E.C., and that's when he says he got shot.
No. No, he tells it just like I think it happened. The only thing he's adding to the story is, I say that E.C. shot him in the shoulder. He's saying that he done it just like I said he done it, but he had his brother-in-law to shoot him in the shoulder, make it look like, you know.
Those two guys that were supposedly in there and shot him.
What he's telling don't add up.
Chubb was never brought to trial.
No, you had to have him trialed 3 days a week. I had to tell the judge, the district attorney, that we was going to do this. I don't know that I could sell him that. The district attorney says, I'll go along with you. I believe you're right. But when you go to tell the judge, then what are you going to do with him? You can't send him to the penitentiary. What if we bring him over there and he's on dialysis? We got to take him to the hospital. He could say anything he wanted to, really, change his mind when he gets to court. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. Way back, after the old man Molitor died, I had a friend of mine, he was an investigator for the DA's office, go to Chubb and see if he could make a deal with him. He found him over in a beer joint at Dewey, and he told him, that I lied to the sheriff. If you ever catch me on a deathbed, I'll tell the whole story. Well, he came back and told me. I sent him back. He goes back, and Chubb told him, said, tell you what I'll do. I'll plead guilty to pat on the butt. So he put it similar to that. I don't know if that's the word, but that's what I took out of it. So I think about that for a few days. The old man had died. So I thought, well, I'll go up and talk to Mullendorf. And I went up to Mullendorf, and John Meekum and his wife was there, and met Ms. Mullendorf. John, his wife, was living out there where Dale Court lived. And I told him what I had. I believe I can get a guilty plea out of Chubb on this murder. But I want you folks behind me, because I've got to sell it to the DA and the judge. I knew that my DA at that time was thinking about running for Senate, and I didn't know whether I could sell it to them and a judge without having the Mullendorfs on board with me. So we were bitter for a little while about it, and Catsy and Ms. Mullendorf, they wouldn't go for it. John, I think he'd have went for it. And the only thing I can figure out about the two Mullendorf ladies, they'd had all the publicity they wanted. They didn't want no more of it. It was all over. Nothing changed. So I never did approach the DA at that time and the judge because I didn't know what I could sell it. Well, that was in the back of my mind all these years. And then it came down to where we were, and it was up to me and the district attorney, I think, to see the charges were filed, and we just decided there's too many risks for what we'd get out of it if we'd done it. We just didn't file.
But when you think about what evidence you had, What evidence did you have?
Didn't.
There was none.
It's not going to be him. He's going to send himself to penitentiary.
He'd have to admit it.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you'd bring it into court, is if he agreed that this is what I'm going to do. Because if you had brought it in and he didn't admit, you would have lost your case.
Yeah. If we just brought him back to Pawhuska, there we would have had all the expense that was there. And he wasn't too good to change his mind. He wasn't no dummy. But I told him, I promised him that, you know, he wouldn't go to penitentiary. And I felt like I could keep that. The DA went along with me on it. If he just cleared up, because he's dying. He's on his deathbed.
Well, you interviewed Chubb in 2009. I watched it, and Chubb says, "You're late." You say, "Late?" And Chubb says, "I'm just going to take it to my grave. I don't see how I can profit from it. I know there's been books written about it, but it's just going to be one of those deals that remains unsolved."
But he changed his mind after that to Dale. But I said, "Dale, I can't use that. You never advised him his rights. You never done anything. You just let him tell you. We can't use that."
And he probably should have had somebody like you there to have got that confession.
Well, he should have. Because I always advised him his rights when I talked to him. But Dale didn't advise him his rights. And all he had to do when he got over to Pawhuska, he said, "I'm not guilty. It's a no-win case." And he just died a few days after that. We wanted to gamble. That's what he'd do when he got to Pawhuska.
Do you think that Chubb Anderson told anybody else?
No. Dale Court was the only one. I kept thinking Dale Court. If anybody knew about it, Dale Court. It was when he went from E.C.'s house over to Dale's house. I asked Dale, I said, "What did he tell you when he come over?" "Well, he just told me there'd been a shooting." I'd known Dale Court quite a while. He come down here from Colorado, and I had an uncle was his neighbor up there. By my uncle, I kind of knew of him. But I don't think Dale knew. I don't think he told Dale. I don't think he told anybody. Only on that tape.
And then I think I read about Kent Green. He was quoted while in prison. If he knew who killed E.C., he says, "We're in the penitentiary, gentlemen. If I did the thing you're asking me to, I couldn't make it to that front gate without three knives sticking in me." But you believe that Kent Green didn't know?
No. Kent Green was in a hotel. He was over at Barbersville in a hotel.
And certainly, Chubb would never have told him.
No.